Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, it is the end of season deep dive for season 10 of Southern Charm. To help me break it all down is Leah Palmieri, who is a longtime friend of mine. You know, back in the day, I would see her at a bunch of Bravo events and Bravo cons and things like that. And she actually, I thought she'd just done one, but she did the first two Southern Charm cast panels at the first two Bravo cons. So she knows what she's talking about when it comes to this show. She has relationships with a lot of the longtime cast. And so she really brought some really great perspective to this. And we just kind of got into everything, all the cast members, all the storylines, all the big kind of plot points, and sort of also where we hope the show goes from here, because, you know, this season was a little bit uneven, I would say, but it kind of found its footing in the second half. And I actually think that this two-part reunion was pretty damn good. It kind of continues a really great trend of having good reunions this year on Bravo. Like, they really had some great ones. But yeah, anyway, I think that, you know, we, there were some things that we kind of come from different perspectives on, I think particularly when it comes to Craig and Paige. And I think that made for a really great conversation, and we went for over an hour. So I really think that you guys will enjoy this one. It's the end of season deep dive for season 10 of Southern Charm. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. Tuesday's episode will be a mailbag episode. So once you hear this, go to the @GabbingWithGib Instagram account, go to my Twitter, Instagram too, and you can submit your questions that you want me to answer, whether it's about the latest episodes of the shows, whether it's bigger picture things, whether it's more fun ideas, whatever you want, submit them and I will corral as much as I can and answer them for Tuesday's episode, because I have not done one of those in a while and I've had a lot of requests for one. So anyway, thanks for listening and we'll see you next week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with journalist and podcast host Leah Palmieri. She is here to do our Southern Charm end of season deep dive with me. And as someone who once hosted a BravoCon panel for Southern Charm, Leah felt like the perfect person to invite on for this episode. Leah, glad we're finally getting you on the pod. It's been a while. How are you?
Gibson, hi. I did two BravoCon Southern Charm panels, just FYI.
I stand corrected. The first two, correct?
As you know. Yeah, as you know. Like, they all count, so.
Yep.
It feels amazing. I'm so excited, mostly just to see you, but of course, like, to talk about these silly billies as well, so.
So you did the first two BravoCon panels for Southern Charm. Mm-hmm. Talk me through a little bit, like, what that was like, your history with the cast, your history with the show, because you were in deep with the Bravo world for a while.
I called it embedded because, like, you know, like, when you go to war, you're like embedded. And so that's how it felt for me. I was working at Decider at the time, and they have, you know, certainly continued the tradition of keeping on top of all things Southern Charm. But it was, you are so in it. And, like, even as we've seen this season, like, I remember when that Austin video dropped. I'm sure I don't need to even say anymore. We all know which video I'm talking about.
Madison, as Andy loves to.
Yes. And it was just like, like, it was so weird because we were like, what is this? Where did it come from? How is this? So every single thing, you know, like, they, you know, tweet something, they post something, it's news. And so, but the BravoCon stuff was really fun because I think, especially the first one, they were so jazzed to be there because nobody kind of, like, knew really what it was or what was going on.
I did a couple of that BravoCon too. It was like a testing ground for everything.
It was my favorite because it was organized chaos, I would say. Like, everything ran so smooth. But I know, like, in the lead up to it, we all were like, I don't know.
Right.
But it was awesome. It felt so good to have the energy from the crowd. And then I felt like the second one was harder because that was they had a large cast. And so, like, how do you possibly really dig into what everybody is doing and saying and hooking up with? And so that one was trickier. But the first one was really fun. I mean, the second one was great, too, because it also felt elevated. And so to sort of see the difference from each year. I guess that was over COVID, though. So that was 3 years in between. But I love it because, it, like, you know, what you see is what you get with them, too. Like,
as you know,
from so many of these Bravo shows, like, they are what they seem like they are. And so, like, there is something really refreshing about that. So that's always, you know, fun to see.
You talked about the sort of ballooned cast a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel like and maybe we'll get more into this at the end, but the show, the cast has ballooned in recent years in a way that feels a little bit unnecessary to me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's not to be shady about anybody in particular. It's just sort of like, it feels like there's been a couple seasons now where it's sort of like we have these, just a lot of extra people around that. And I think it's mostly like there's not that much airtime for them to like really blossom and like share their stories. But like, it's sort of like, why are we having these people here if they're not going to have their sort of moments? You know what I mean?
100%. There's a handful on this current cast.
Yeah, exactly.
That I don't want to take anybody's job away from them ever. But there's some people I feel like didn't want to show things. And so it's like, then why are you here? If you're not getting along, if you don't want to interact with these people and you don't want to show your life, what is actually the point? And for some people, you know, this is a group of this group loves the spotlight, each of them individually. So sometimes I think for those that are less like, look at me, it can be a little bit hard to sort of find your place sometimes.
Sure.
But we still need those people too.
I agree. It's all about balance. It's all about balance. So we're speaking. We've both seen the second part of the reunion for this season. And again, we'll get into the full season, but sort of top line thoughts on the reunion and how sort of satisfied you were with the two-parter.
I actually felt very satisfied with
Me
this
too.
One.
I Me
don't
too.
Always. And I actually felt if things weren't resolved, they will be by the time cameras go up again. I actually felt like we got to things. And I also felt like the things we didn't really need to drag on, they didn't. And that, I think, is also really important, too. Specifically, like, Sally and Taylor. I don't need to hear them go back and forth about, like, if that guy's a piece of shit or not. Like, we can all sort of make our own minds up. And we're not changing anyone's minds in that room either.
No.
So I thought
especially
that was...
because Taylor's one of those people who wasn't going to get into details. And so it's sort of like, I think the audience is kind of probably on one side of that in terms of... Yeah, I totally agree. And like when you have a season like this where the beginning was like a little lackluster, I would say, a little uneventful. And then it definitely ramped up in the second half.
Yeah.
But there were probably like three main big storylines on this season, Shep and Sienna, Craig and Paige, and sort of in hindsight, looking at that relationship. And then I guess Craig and Austin's thing too. And then Vanita and JT. So four kind of big things we were looking at. And they all got a lot of airtime on this two-part reunion without much fluff, which is a nice feeling when you're watching a reunion like this, especially after a season like we had.
They did a really good job. There was only like one or two times where people were talking over each other too. I can't stand when they all talk and yell at the same time. And Andy,
especially when
like,
there's 30 people on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I thought that they handled that really well. And I thought that it's, nobody cried or walked off. So
that's true.
Like,
that's true.
When's the last time that happened?
I guess we got a momentary exit from Vanita to get her phone.
Yes.
But that doesn't count.
That was just to retrieve. Yeah. And you know what? We have to, take in the moment that is Miss Patricia coming for the first time in 10 years.
I can't believe it was the first time. Yeah. It's wild.
I thought she looked amazing. I thought, obviously, like, we could have had more from her, but we had other things to solve, and she just sort of added her wisdom to the mix. But I liked seeing her there.
And speaking of her, it's sort of like Whitney, who is a quasi cast member on this show. Mm-hmm. He's a producer of the show, obviously. He doesn't ever come to the reunion, and yet he has things that he's never had to answer for, and it's just a little bit. That is like a little. Throughout the show, it's been an annoyance for me, especially in recent years, where like he'll rear his head and he'll tell Molly that she shouldn't eat a cupcake, or he'll hook up with some random person and like he won't have to explain it.
He stirs the pot and walks away from the stove while it lights on fire. And so it's just like, I get it. And I guess that's a perk of being a producer, for as much as he actually, quote, produces. You know, I think Patricia kind of... also takes over where he doesn't, and she'll say the things that he doesn't want her to say, and we're thankful for that.
That's true. I think at this point I'm sort of like, I don't really need him on the show, to be honest. Like, if he wants to be at the dinners that Pat hosts at her house, great, but I don't need him really elsewhere if he's not gonna kind of play ball around all the bases, you know.
I totally get that.
All right, so before this season, so let's go back sort of the beginning. We lost two cast members from last season in Rod and Olivia. I'd say they contributed in very different ways to the show. Did you find that you missed them at all? What did you make of sort of the cast reset from the perspective of who we lost?
Rod, no.
Yeah.
With all due to him, seemed lovely. Mm-hmm. You know, was not
He was there for a reason last season.
Yeah. And also, like, kind of proved there are some nice dudes, you know, bumbling around Charleston. Seemed nice, but yeah, I don't think the show was right for him. I don't see him coming back to, like, really shake things up. Olivia, I will say, you know, I would like to see her when she was in a great place and separate from Austin. And I think she has a lot of, like, exciting things happening in her life. I know she got engaged and things like that. So it would have been kind of fun to be on that journey as well. But I don't know. I don't need her and Taylor rehashing literally anything. So that, you know, maybe it's for the best. Maybe she comes back. I would sort of like to see her maybe as a friend of, just to kind of have her back in the mix a little bit, because I did like her and I thought she was, you know, called it, said it like she sees exactly. It kind of thing. Yeah. I wouldn't say I necessarily missed her in the mix, but like, I wouldn't be mad if she came back.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, it sort of felt like they sort of chose Taylor over her in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I think they chose Taylor over Olivia seemingly so that she could sort of weigh in on the Shep and Sienna of it all, maybe that they could sort of maybe just see how Shep reacted to Taylor having Gaston in her life and like kind of follow that thread. And then we also brought in Sally. So there was this sort of intrigue of like, okay, like, is the Gaston thing going to become this big thing? And they wanted it to, and it kind of should have, but because Taylor is so conflict averse and kind of ran away from almost every confrontation over these topics, it just sort of like, there was like a balloon there that could have been blown up, and it just sort of like remained deflated. It was just frustrating, because I do think that even though, you know, the Olivia thing probably, like, she had a new boyfriend and like she wasn't gonna like be like a hookup for anybody or anything like that, she's much more dynamic than Taylor is, and I just think that Taylor really, and I'm not even trying to be like an asshole, like, Taylor really didn't bring that much to the season, and it didn't feel like she wanted to do what her job called her to do. And when you're having it, especially when you're having a season that's sort of like taking a while to launch, that's really, it becomes obvious.
I fully agree with you. I think, you know, my heart goes out to her, because I know she's grieving and she's still going through a lot, but like, I think the better thing would have been to remove yourself, because, you know, I thought that one of the more telling moments of the season was Rodrigo going over and saying, maybe if you brought Gaston around and everyone got to actually like meet him and see for themselves. And she was like, nah, like, had no interest in that. And whether, you know, he was sort of encouraged to bring that up or he said it on his own, I still think that was the point. Like, where you could, all the back and forth and he said, she said, it's because he's not around. And if he was actually there, he could speak for himself. And so I did think that was a missed opportunity. I understand why Taylor's more connected to the cast, like you just said. And so I get that. But yeah, she didn't want to do anything. The fact that, like, you know, and again, I feel terrible because I know she was going through it. But the fact that she just was like, nah, I'm not going to my birthday party anymore. And so I was like, all right, well, we're all going to hang at Craig's.
Right.
You know, the job still got done. We still got the goss out of it and stuff. But like, there was a lot of missed opportunities.
Yeah. And it makes it so, like, Sally, who's one of the new people, like, she had this sort of like storyline on a platter, you know, and she did her best to like do stuff with it. And I think she did. But like, it could have gone 20 steps further in that. And, you know, she's the newbie and Taylor's the quote unquote vet in that situation. Yeah. And like, I think it told me everything I need to know about sort of where Taylor is with the show. And again, obviously she's going through a lot, but I think if you are going to sign up for a show like this, you do have to bring your full self. And I don't think she brought her full self. So we did add Sally, Molly, and Ryan to the cast. Mm-hmm. Sally, again, I really enjoyed her. I think that she's like pretty dynamic. She's not afraid of confrontation. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that she clearly is very connected to this group. I mean, she's hooked up with three or four of the guys that were in the mix this season.
Yeah.
And then she has this like really impressive job. Like, she just like, to me, like, checks a lot of boxes for this show. And I hope they keep her around, because I like her.
I fully agree with you, too. I thought the breast reduction stuff was actually really interesting.
Totally.
And I thought that was so personal. And she still handled it with like a lot of like confidence and just like assuredness. And I think where what we didn't get to see from her and like the Gaston of it all, she was able to shine because she was able to talk about controlling robots and her boobs and like, you know, the two very different things. But like, again, that really shows the dynamic, like just like how this, she's, you know, a full woman and like has a lot going for herself. And so I think that was, she was really refreshing. And again, also isn't afraid to get in the drama too. So like that, this is, yeah, that's a dream cast member.
Totally.
For the show.
Totally. And I think that sometimes this show will like cast these more like timid women who are sort of, they feel like they're there for the men to hook up with, and I hate that feeling. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like they aren't empowered, and Sally to me felt empowered, and I also think that Molly felt empowered. I loved Molly in this part two of the reunion. Andy quotes Brian Moylan, who calls us like her like a lovable nerd, and like I totally agree. Like, she is so like, you want to root for her, and she was super open about her own struggles with her body image and her career and just sort of like feeling a little bit lost, but like she still, I mean, the scene of her at that concert playing, that was one of the best scenes of the entire season, I thought. Yeah. And she's another one who I'm just like, I want to get to know her better. I do.
I thought that was exactly the right balance with her. Same. Anyone who's going to talk about how moving music can be, like, you already got me. Like, we're in. I love it. I love that that she is sort of quirky. I love that it's relatable that she's talking about her body. Even though I'm like, what? Like, you're gorgeous. What are you talking about?
But of course,
but, you know, like, it's
because
like,
she comes from like the, you know, the modeling world where you're expected to be stick thin. And she's gorgeous. She's smart and talented and,
she's really fun, and she brings the right vibe to the show too. There was also enough of her sort of like having a crush on Shep, kissing at the end. Like, you know, I thought that her crush on Shep wasn't her whole storyline, thank God.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was obviously a flash in the pan. Like, we're, you know, he's moved on, she's moved on, if so it seems. But I thought it was, you know, to bring a little kookiness to the show is never a bad thing.
Totally. Yeah. So that was the other thing. It's like she had the sort of Shep intrigue, even though Shep was like on the Sienna boat this season. Like, there was still like, there was a clear, nice little, out at sea. There was Molly and Shep definitely have a little bit of a vibe, which is like, it's, you know, and then on Sally's part, it was sort of like towards the end, because we obviously knew that Craig and Paige had broken up. It was sort of like, could her and Craig be a thing? And now we know they're not. But like, there was that hint of like that inkling that added to, the, I think, the intrigue for both of them.
Yeah, for sure. I think the women are, both of them were great additions. I better see them back because, you know, I'd love to see both of them navigate dating in Charleston with other dum-dums and not
with
like
other
this
guys.
Group. You know, like,
exactly.
I would love to see what that's like for them. I would love to see more about their jobs, more about the band, more about the robots. Like, that to me is...
bring us to band practice.
Yeah, you know? Like, those are cool things. They both got their little dogs. Like, I just think that they're much more relatable than most of the women certainly we see on Bravo. And so, like, but they're also, there's still that aspiration because they're both beautiful and awesome and successful. So I really want to see more from them. The thing that's going to start to be a problem is when they outshine the men, because they're going to have a lot going on and people are really going to like them. And like, we know the guys aren't going to be on board with that.
Right.
So, but let's see it happen. I'm okay
with it. Let's see it happen. Yeah. And then the other new addition we had was Ryan, who I just don't think he ever got enough to do. Like, that he did not, that he, like, he didn't really got that much of his story told. Like, he clearly is very close with Pat and Madison, and like, the group all knows him, and he clearly has this like really great life with his doctor husband, but it's like, we never really got to see that, which just feels like, you know, it's one of those moments where it's like, they bring somebody in and they just, it feels like they're just there kind of, I think, because of the editing, just like how production nets out. But like, it must be tough to be in that situation if you're somebody like Ryan.
Like, I couldn't tell if my vibe from him was that he's just sort of like kind of a mind your business guy, or like, will gossip with his husband? I think they're married, right?
Yeah.
His partner, whatever. And so like, I think when he was sort of like shoehorned into that drama at the end with like JT and Vanita and Leva, like, it felt like kind of out of place, because I'm like, this guy, it doesn't seem like this guy would be out here lying and making like these kinds of serious things up. I didn't like mind having him around, especially if someone like Patricia just needs like a normal person to be sitting next to her. Like, you know, he can absolutely do that. But like, do I know anything about him after the season? No, I don't know anything about him. So
that's probably not his problem. That's probably because you know, you go on Wikipedia and it's like, he's a main cast member. And like,
we
and that, if you're gonna have somebody a main cast member, you gotta give them some breathing room, you know? And I understand it's a crowded cast, but like, then don't have a crowded cast, you know? Like, you, I don't know.
What's his job? Like, we didn't even get like a segment where like, it's like, you know, here's my life and like, here's my partner and here's my job. Like,
it's crazy.
Or here's me driving my car. Like, there's, I don't know anything about him, you know? I don't know if, he was just like, I'm all set, or if it just, he was not in the mix or what.
I think they cut it. Yeah. But I think you're right. It's like, I've totally, but with the barber thing at the end, like, he's not going to lie about that. Like, he's not going to make that up. Like, the, like, JT clearly said something. The barber probably repeated it in a more like defamatory way. And Ryan, I think, repeated it as he heard it. So he's not going to.
What's he going to get out of that? Yeah. He's not going to like.
Totally.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. That was very strange to me. That whole thing. But
and the other person before we get into like the meat of the season is Leva. She has been on for a while. I mean, she's been on for she was on for 4 seasons as a full-time cast member, which I feel like in a blink of an eye that happened. And I love Leva. I don't think she's meant to be like a star reality star, you know. I think that she is like, I'm thankful that we got introduced to her, particularly because we got Southern Hospitality out of it, and I think that is like a win for everybody. She announced, obviously, that she's not coming back to the show. And I think that's the right decision. I think, as she said, she like her life is like pretty drama free. And she probably should have done this maybe a season ago, you know, and still like maybe just like been around when she wants to for filming. But, you know, I'm I like Leva as a person. I really do. I just don't think she's meant to be a reality star.
Yeah, I don't think she's like, she doesn't thrive off of the drama in the way that other people do. And so I'd like to see her a little bit more on Southern Hospitality, like go yell at some of these dum-dums and be like, what are you doing? Like, I'm totally fine with her in that LVP role. Like, go for it. And I think that's the right place for her. You know, the interesting thing was she was at times the glue that, you know, she had to have that awkward conversation with JT at the end. She also was the one, I think specifically with him, she was sort of the only one that he would kind of sit down and chat with. And so, like, you know, there were times where she was a little bit of like a mom figure, or like was moving things along of like, well, I'm going to talk to this person, or you need to talk to that person. And so somebody is going to have to step up into that role. But that's a waste of her. Like, we don't need, you know, let her live her life and like put your drama into Southern Hospitality, where there's plenty to go around there for sure.
Yeah. It's almost, that's almost like a role that I almost think that Madison could play going forward, 100%. Especially because she's pregnant. Yeah. And like, I think that Madison, we know that she's not afraid of drama and she's not afraid of confrontation, but I also kind of get this sense from her, just in the way that she sort of handles herself and Watch What Happens Live and in interviews and things, that she doesn't, it, I don't think the drama gets her going as much as it used to in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, it does, like, it, that's not sort of what makes her tick anymore. I think that she can get there, but it's not as like right below the surface for her anymore. And so I think that she could sort of be more into that role, because she is good friends with Vanita. She has the friendship, I guess, with JT.
Yeah.
She's obviously really good friends with the guys, Shep, Craig, and Austin. So I could see her playing that role more going forward, too.
This was my favorite season of Madison's since she's been on the show.
She had a great season.
She just did what she's meant to do. And I think, you know, I think part of it was losing her dad certainly gives you a lot of perspective. Going through the stuff with Brett gives you perspective of like, this shit does not matter. And when it does, it really matters to her. And so like, you saw the most fired up she got was with JT being like, do not talk about my marriage. And so like, yes, she's not going to shrink from any of the drama. She loves to stir it. And she, I think, is learning how to stir it in a more eloquent way. Kind of, she's taking a note from Patricia's book, certainly, I heard she said this. And like, then just sitting back and enjoying. And so I absolutely think, you know, next season, what are we going to see? Her sort of like feeding the baby while she's talking to somebody and like, oh, he said that, what? And so like, you know, I think that is exactly the right role for her, where she's still involved without starting things, without coming across bitchy, just moving it along and smiling. And, you know, I think a lot of people loved the friendship with her and Austin too. Like, you could see why there was actually a bond between the two of them. And that's, and her and Craig too. I think, you know, yeah, I'm fully here for that.
Yeah, me too.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
We heard you. 9 years of Bring Back the Snack Wrap, and you've won. But maybe you should have asked for more. Say hello to the Hot Honey Snack Wrap. Now you've really won. Go to McDonald's and get it while you can.
It's crazy. This was only Madison's third season as a full-time cast member.
That's nuts.
She was a friend, main friend, and then main twice, like last year. Which is kind of, I feel like the friend ones must have been like essentially main, but like, it's kind of crazy because to me, she is Southern Charm in so many ways to me.
Yeah, big
time. Outside of the three main guys. All right, so Vanita. Mm-hmm. Madison and Vanita are good friends. Vanita, it felt like finally was having a main storyline this season. Like it took four seasons and she finally has something sort of, storyline A here with the JT of it all. And even after part two, I think the timeline of it all has been cleared up in a lot of ways for me. I think I feel clearer about it. Do I still have a lot of unanswered questions about what happened there? Absolutely. Like, I don't really understand what their dating in the fall after filming ended. I don't really understand what that looked like. I feel like they might have had different ideas of what that was. Mm-hmm. In the reunion, I guess he was still dating this woman, but now he seems to be broken up with this woman. So, and Vanita's down to date JT, apparently, again. I think my biggest, and I'll let you speak in a second, but my biggest question, I think, just generally is like, I don't feel like I have gotten from her like what she what she's attracted to, what she sees in him.
Yeah,
like we she keeps saying we haven't seen that in him, and I haven't seen it.
I saw a glimpse of it. I'll say that. I think it was the time when she made the branzino and he came over.
Sure.
And there was sort of a little twinkle in his eye. I do think maybe, I don't know, like sometimes he just comes across so dweeby sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the presence of the other guys who are so too confident. But I think when he's just one-on-one with her, even when he was sort of one-on-one with kind of like anyone, he was calmer and he didn't feel like, a cat backed against the wall. Like I think he did some of the other times with the whole group there. You could kind of see a little bit of like, I don't want to say suaveness. That's too strong of a word. But like a little bit of, a little bit of like, just going into date mode a little bit more with her. Even like, the interaction in the store when she was like, you look yummy. He's like, oh, I look yummy. And like, you could tell there's like yummy. A bit of flirting there. Yeah. You could tell there's a bit of flirting between them. Now, as an outsider, when I look at these two people, I'm like, Vanita is stunning. Like, I just think she's gorgeous. She has made her own money. She takes care of Charles well. She dresses incredibly. Like, she knows how to make a fish for a date. Like, I just feel like there's so much to her. And, like, I get that you're in Charleston and the pickings are slim, but I'm like, girl, like, you had that man that was, like, in New York and stuff, too. Now, I don't know what happened with that, but I'm like, you could do really well for yourself. If I was Vanita, I'd be sliding into so many DMs.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it kind of gets into this, like, I think when you're a reality star for sort of this amount of time, like 3 to 4 seasons, and it's like, do I go all in or do I? And I think, and I'm not saying that it's like the wrong reasons or anything, but I think that your mind gets so jumbled as a reality star of like,
yes,
show from real life from show. Like, there's so much overlap, particularly in Charleston, which is like such a small town. I think part of it is also like, this is within the bubble of the show. There's this guy who like doesn't have as much history with the group and he likes me. And like, I think that again, that's not why she's with him, but I think that bolsters him in maybe some more subconscious ways. If you're somebody like Vanita, do you know what I mean? Like, and also like, again, probably maybe subconsciously, it's like, if we date, we're both on this show, like that's another 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
Of my career. You know,
there's a Stockholm syndrome to it all for sure.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
Like there's definitely you're in my proximity and like, you know, like your reputation hasn't been fully tarnished yet. So why not? Like, absolutely. You know, of that, she didn't come out looking like a loser. Like, if anything, no. Obviously it backfired on him of like, what are you doing? How did you fumble this so bad? She can just do better, I think. Like,
I agree.
You know,
and,
like,
and also it's like, you know, in part one of the reunion when Andy's like, you know, JT, you performed a fuckboy exorcism on Austin last season. Maybe that energy went into you. And JT was like, well, I wouldn't know. I didn't fuck her. And I was just sort of like, see, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, Vanita, like this guy's saying, because my whole thing about JT is that like he wants to present as a gentleman, but when it comes down to it, he's not really that much of a gentleman. Like he'll say the fuckboy thing to say, the shitty thing to say. And that's exactly what happened on camera on this reunion. And I'm like, if they get together, let's say in the next season, JT and Vanita give it a real go, because he's no longer with this girlfriend, apparently.
Sure.
She needs to hold him accountable for some of these like,
everything.
Like, not even very minor offenses. Like, that's like a really shitty thing to say. Like, the group was kind of like flabbergasted when he said that. So I just need her to still stick it to him. You know what I mean? Don't give in super easily.
I think the thing that I have said about Craig for 1 million years is he's not wrong. It's just his delivery comes across harsh. And he was exactly right when he was saying, take the bitch thing out of this. Let's not even talk about the Miss Pat stuff. Everything else you said was stupid. Everything else was, you know, you'd think that you're like some like superior, like you have this moral superiority and like you don't. And so like it's the way he comments on everything else, he tries to stir it, but it always just splashes back him. And like, it's just like you need somebody on the show who's going to be much slicker about it than him.
Sure.
And he gives it a good try, but it's just like, no.
Yeah. I do think though that like the purpose that he serves on the show is also sort of giving the other guys a common enemy, and like they get pretty activated by him.
Yes,
like,
they do.
And
they do.
That is a pretty good force to have within the group. Like, even though he's annoying and even though like, you know what I mean, he's like a little dweeby, I do think that when it comes to like this sort of old guard boys club of Southern Charm, like it's good that they found somebody like JT who can be injected into the cast. They might not even like him, like any of them besides Vanita, but like he can give them a run for their money in not like a really substantial way in terms of like, oh, he'll take them down, more just like he gets a little messy, you know, like
he gets
like
under
even as they're improving their lives and being more mature or whatever, like
the
moments of weakness will come with him.
And the other purpose he serves is showing the full spectrum of douchebags in Charleston. So like, you might have the Sheps, the Austins, who are like, you know, might seem like the first time you lay eyes on them, oh god, like fuckboy or whatever. Then you have the JTs who are like discreet fuckboys who like you look at and you're like, oh, but he's like sweet. And it's like, okay, but then like give it a couple weeks and then see what you think then. And so it's like really showing us what the hell's in the water down there.
So do you think that JT called Pat a bitch?
I work in facts. And so, like, if the audio is not found, it's hard to say definitively. He was so adamant. And the fact that a lot of other people were like, I've never even heard him say that word, does make me think maybe not. But I do think the sentiment was probably lingering. But again, Craig is an embellisher. So maybe he said something like, oh, what the fuck, or whatever. Like, you never know. And like, Craig spun it, but I don't want to doubt Craig, but I also do need to see it for myself. And so
I don't think he used the word.
Yeah.
I think that, like, you know, what you just said about what Craig said at the part two of the reunion, which was like, he was like, let's take the bitch thing out of it.
Yeah.
I think that the point that you made is very apt. It was sort of like, I'm sure there was all this other bad shit that he was saying, and it was, you know, the sentiment was there. But I think Craig was very, he knew what he was doing. He was says, okay, take the bitch thing out of it. Like,
yeah,
let's forget about that. Because I think that
he's just,
I don't think he called her a bitch. I don't. And
probably not. Yeah. Probably. I would think he knows better. But then, like, you think about him just like writing that card and you're like, ugh. Like, at least, like, sit down and take your time and make your writing clear so she can read it. And like, the whole thing was just, oh, like, you just like can't even look sometimes because you're like, oh, my guy, what are you doing?
Uh-huh. All right, so let's get into the boys, the big three, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Craig, Shep, and Austin.
Yeah.
They're all going in the right direction. You know, they're all, they're showing moments of growth that I really actually like mostly, for the most part, I believe in a lot of it. I think the sentiment and sort of the willingness and the want to get to that place for all of them is there. Like, I think they all want to have their shit together.
Yeah.
They all want to stop being like, I feel like when Andy calls them Peter Pans, like, they, like, part of them shudders inside still.
Yeah.
Like, I, even though, like, that is what they are. Who to you is sort of like the current voice of reason in this trio? Who has grown up the most? Sort of how do you view these three?
Disclaimer. So I am one of the people who does stand up for these men. Part of that is covering them for so long.
Yeah.
Part of that is being an optimist and really trying to see the best in people. And part of that is also realizing these boys are so easy to take our frustrations with the world out on. Like, they are just the
so
model,
true.
Punchable faces. Like, just anything you're mad about in the world, especially that's caused by, like, rich white men, of course. Like, let's just take it out on these dum-dums. Like, totally. I see that. I was actually shocked that of the three of them, Craig probably had the worst season or the harshest. I think Austin, I hope he enjoyed his season because he had a really easy one. I think he was owed that after a couple of rougher ones. I really hope he enjoyed it. I think you can't hide that girlfriend for long. She's got to start to be in the mix. We've got to start to see that. And Shep, I was actually really proud of. I thought, you know, I don't want to say that this could be an embarrassing season, because I really believe if you're going to put your heart out there, and you're even right off of your freckled lips, I do think that, like, it showed a lot of growth from him and a lot of I don't want to say, like, bravery, but, like, you know,
he was really vulnerable
in a way that, like, he is not usually. And he also handled it with a lot of, like, grace and sort of a aw shucks and, like, you know, that's what happens. And he didn't get mad and bitter about it. I mean, whatever he did that night on the beach where he just, you know, was drunk and sitting out there, fine, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
and he got, he got kicked out of another casino.
I mean, well, he does know how to do that.
Which is an underrated detail of the season, I will say.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of skated by that. Second in a year. Anyway.
Continue. Yeah. but he didn't, you know, he could have come on camera and said, had some real choice words, and he didn't. I think he really looked inward, and I thought he handled the whole thing probably better than most would have handled, you know, being sort of, again, I don't want to say embarrassed, because, like, it is embarrassing, but it's not, because we've all sort of been through something like that. So I think, and, you know, for Craig, same, where I give him a lot of credit for having that conversation on the beach with Austin. That's not easy to have, and that was clearly something he was not really eager to say on camera. And then I think knew he needed to explain himself, if not even just for his friend to understand. The Paige stuff was hard for me because, you know, he says he just judges off camera, but I'm like, but the stuff she says on camera, it's clear that she was sort of like, ugh, like just sort of rolling her eyes at a lot of things that he did. So it was with the exception of Austin, because Austin really got off pretty scot-free this season.
I would say so, too.
Yeah. Struggling with your like friendship. OK, fine. But like he was giggling with Madison and he's in love and, you know, people really weren't coming for him.
Yeah. Well, I think I agree. I think that it felt like with the Craig and Austin stuff, it's sort of like it was this really long simmering thing of like, I think Craig probably knew he had to say this about like, you know, potentially being an alcoholic and wanting to sort of take drinking out of the equation for himself before it got like really, really bad. Mm-hmm. I think that was really brave and it was a really great conversation. And like, I think that that was a breakthrough for them in a lot of ways, even though on the reunion we saw like there was still a lot of sort of lingering stuff, but that stuff felt a little bit less serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It felt like, but in watching part two was sort of like, you realize like how hard lined Craig is. Like he is like even like it felt like him and Austin were making progress, whatever. And then they all say they're scared of him and he's like, all right, well, if you feel that way, like we don't have to be friends anymore. And it's like, like calm down. You know what I mean? Like, let's and then like 2 seconds later, he's like smiling because Austin says he loves him, you know? So it's sort of like they have this truly brotherly thing that is, there is something very compelling and sort of sweet about it, honestly, at the end of the day, because like they have a really, that's what their relationship is. And I was trying to think about sort of, I feel like Craig is almost like he's both frustrated with Austin because when he says like, when I see Austin drinking, even if it's like just margaritas at happy hour and then going home or mimosas at Sunday brunch, like he gets angry about it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's both frustrated with Austin for doing that because he feels like if he's drinking, like he's not, he could be 10 steps ahead in his business and he could be maybe closer where Craig is in life in terms of probably financially speaking. But also I feel like there's almost probably a subconscious, like almost jealousy that Austin clearly has a lot more of a balanced relationship with alcohol and he can have the margaritas like two at a happy hour or most at brunch and be okay and just whatever. And Craig clearly struggles more with that. And I think he feels two ways about it, I think. And that's hard to make sense of.
I think exactly right. And I think there's more to that, too, where Craig has always been ambitious. Even if he's a mess, he's always been super ambitious. I don't get that same ambition from Austin. Mm-hmm. And I think Craig has instilled a bit of it in him. And I think Craig also feels a little bit resentful where he's like, I've helped motivate you. I've brought you into, you know, my world of business and, you know, started this podcast and all of that. And so I think there's a little bit of resentment towards, you know, I've helped you get your business off the ground in a way too. And yeah, I don't see that just like blind ambition in Austin, which I think is fine because he seems happy and he seems like, yeah, I got my beer and we'll do this and I do the show and whatever. Like I, you know, live your life. But like, I think Craig feels so motivated by it and to not have substances fueling that or even taking him away from it now, there's even more of that. And I think, especially after a breakup and also he's comparing himself to Paige and seeing her success, he's striving for more. I want to do bigger theaters and blah, blah, blah. So I think it's, and then for Austin to not be meeting him. And so it's sort of like Craig is, or like Paige is kind of like winning the race and Craig's trying to keep up with her. And Austin's like, nah, I'm just going to watch from the sidelines. And it's like,
yeah,
that was not working for Craig. So.
Right. Totally. And like Craig, obviously, as we've seen a little bit on Summer House, like, or from Paige's perspective, like he has a little bit of a difficulty admitting that maybe Paige is a little bit ahead of him. But also it's like, I think that he went this direction because of Paige. He went full throttle in this direction. Like he said, like, I want this life at home. And like Paige, it was nice having this person with me there. But like he said, he had to isolate himself from the lifestyle of the other men on Southern Charm to get to a place where he was comfortable with not drinking pretty much at all. And it's a really nuanced dynamic, honestly. And I think that I never thought about the ambition aspect of it. And that's very much tied up into that. And I think that's why Austin also I wouldn't say Austin maybe values the friendship more than Craig, but I think that it's more like front of mind important to him in that way, because like to him, it's like, I want to be making my money. I want to have my girlfriend. I want my friends. Like, I don't need to be a mogul. I don't need to be, but like that.
Yeah.
And I think with Craig, the moguldom, and we saw that in, they played these old, their audition tapes or whatever, from like the reel before the show started on part two of the reunion, which was so interesting to see. And you're right. Craig has had that ambition since then. He was like, I don't want to be a lawyer to like practice law. I want to be a lawyer to make money. Yeah. Money is important to me.
Yeah.
And that was 12 years ago. So
money's awesome. I was oh my god.
That comment he made about his wife not being born yet was really difficult. Was really difficult to watch.
Because also of all of them, he's the one that I don't get the like she's not born yet vibes from. Like
no, that was him like being like not a fully formed human living in Charleston.
Yeah, that frontal lobe was not all the way in yet. That's for sure. Yeah.
When it comes to the Shep and Sienna stuff, like, what do you think happened there? Like, do you think that, do you view her as somebody who was trying to get famous and like be on the reality show? Do you view it as Shep, like sort of not misrepresenting it, but sort of thinking it was more than it was the whole time? Do you think that she pulled back because of the cameras? Like, how do you read how that went down?
There is a lot of conflicting information.
I agree.
Yes, you can make an absolute argument for being like, she's an opportunist and she's just trying to like get with like the first, you know, or the richest man she can find on Raya. Like, you know, there's an argument to be made for that. I didn't quite get those vibes. And I also didn't get the vibes of like her wanting to be famous and be on camera, because she only, I believe, throughout the season, once her stuff started airing, went on TikTok like once to like basically stand up for herself and be like, actually, this is what it was from my point of view. Mm-hmm. So I think if you were her and you were actually trying to capitalize on it, you'd be all over TikTok and Instagram just being like, hey, Southern Charm fam. Like, and I don't think she really did that. And I don't think she came across good or bad. You know what I mean? Because I think like the impression I got from the Shep side of it was that he's a love bomber. The fact that he's like dropping the L word, getting their shark tooth necklace, like all of that stuff is like, you know, and I think that the guys were right in the assessment that like Shep was at his best when he was with Taylor and he was in a relationship and he was chasing that again. Yes. And I think it is a huge step from 6 years ago, Shep, to be having him even think about kids or marriage or settling down. You know, the idea of Sienna is so intriguing. I understand.
Oh, it was the idea of her.
Yeah, it was exactly the idea of her. Like, beautiful models interested in me and I can go have a motel in the Bahamas and like live the island life. Like, no. Like, you know, I get why that sounds appealing. And he could have that. He could absolutely have that. There's 20 more of her on Raya. You know what I mean? Like, you could find that. So the whole thing was very strange. They could have made her look worse, and I'm glad they didn't, because I don't think she was fully at fault. You know, I think he love bombed her, and he kind of love bombed himself a little bit too into the whole idea of it.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I think just, you know, just for old time's sake, I just want to read the text that he sent her.
Great.
Because to me, I think that was one of the highlights of the season, one of the most memorable things.
My favorite part of the text is that 1 second where you see Craig and Austin like giggling about front of him. That to me, hang it in the Louvre. Like, that was like the best moment of it. But now read.
So let me just do a little dramatic reading. Right. Yes.
Wonderful.
Good morning, Sienna. Listen, I love seeing you and no one else. No one. But I'm not going to try to convince someone they love me for 3 days, especially when I know deep down they do. Here's hoping you understand my feelings and exalt them. I just don't feel this way ever. I know that you agree and feel a lot of what I do because I've heard it from your perfect little freckled lips. And those around us can say and think what they will, but we will have the last laugh and we'll have love, laughter, and everything that matters. Okay, my TED Talk is over. That's art. That's poetry.
I mean,
tag yourself. Are you exalt? Are you little freckled lips?
No, I'm listen. I'm problematic right from the jump. I'm listen. Like that to me, when you're starting a text message or a soliloquy with listen, it's like, oh gosh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Exalted is one thing. Freckled lips is really.
Yeah.
It's accurate, but it's cringe. Yeah. And I just, you know, there's so much in no way, at no point in constructing that text did he think about who was receiving it. He was only thinking about himself and his feelings. And I'm so glad he was able to communicate them. But
yes, it was to an as she was not there to receive these feelings. And because like when he says, especially when I know deep down they do. I was thinking that I was going to end with don't, you know, yeah. And it was like he couldn't read the room. And I think that my read on it is ultimately that, like, he has gotten a lot of his shit together. It sounds like he parties a little bit less. He definitely has his moments again. He looks good. He's working out. He seems to have some things in his life together that he didn't a couple of years ago. He clearly still has his moments, like at the casino, and mm-hmm. they're probably fueled by sort of these emotional moments that he can't really deal with still. But I think they viewed his life as like, I have so much of myself together. The one thing missing is the woman in the family. I think that the first person that came along that showed interest to him, like Sienna did, he's latched onto, again, the idea of what she could be for him. And again, that completely disregarded her own feelings and like sentiments.
Yeah.
But, I think that's what sort of fueled this whole thing.
I also think, you know, when she came to the Dolly Parton party, that...
What a sentence.
Yeah, truly. The end. But, you know, the interaction that she had with Taylor when they hugged and Taylor was like... Or she's like, I've heard so much about you. And Taylor was like, oh, I hope good. And she was like, mostly is a huge accomplishment. Like, the fact that most of it is
so
good,
true.
It all could be bad. And so the fact that Taylor spun that into drama, it's like, what do you think she's hearing from your ex-boyfriend? Like, the fact that he was even saying anything good about you, I would be like, oh, wow, that's great. Uh-huh. Instead of just like, how dare you say anything bad?
Right.
It's like, well...
I kind of think he's also still in love with Taylor, personally. I think he still has a lot of unresolved... I don't think he fully processed that.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He carried it over into the Sienna stuff. And that's why I think he was so confident that she loved him, too, when it was really like, well, Taylor probably loved you, too. But like, this girl doesn't know you that way yet. And so, yeah, I don't. It's. But yes. So anyway, the point of that, what I was going to say is, you know, Sienna didn't like make Dolly Parton about her. Like, she seemed to sort of go under the radar a bit at that party. And so, again, I think if you were really trying to like make a show of it, it's not like she got in any of the drama or anything that day. So
I initially came into this admittedly thinking that she, like, my read was like, she wants to be on camera, she wants to, like, that was my initial read on it.
Yeah.
And I think that through this conversation, through other conversations, I think that I have been convinced that that was not really the case for her. But I definitely, that was my first impression of what she was doing. But I don't think that anymore.
Yeah, I think it's really easy if you just sort of had the facts, but there is a lot more nuance to it. Even the like matching with Whitney on Riot, like.
Right. Well, because that's also like, it's sort of how the cast presented it. They were like, oh, she matched with Whitney on Riot.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a fan of the show. Oh, she's making all these. It's like. But the nuances of it are like, well, her conversation with Whitney was a back and forth for two, like, a hey, how are you? And her grandma was a fan of the show, not her. So,
if my grandma was a fan of somebody, I would absolutely swipe on them just to like see if we matched.
Yeah,
and then just be like, oh, no, we're like,
see what happens.
Yeah. And so like, I don't think she actually gave a shit about Whitney. And I think she only I think the Shep thing, she was just like, I'll just see what happens.
Intriguing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like, and like,
yeah. And then, you know, he got carried
probably,
away.
Yeah, she's probably into the football guy more. Which,
sure.
More power to her.
Right.
So.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need. From athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
All right, so Leah, the last kind of big thing for us to talk about here is the Paige and Craig of it all.
Okay.
So obviously, like, in the season, they weren't really having any major issues. They had their minor things, but I think I'm pretty sure the season was re-edited, at least in those things, to sort of, you know, play up some of the fissures that were in their relationship and some of the tension that was there. And it's been this interesting experience because now we're also watching Summer House, which is a month or maybe a month ahead of this, 2 months ahead of this in terms of their timeline of their relationship. And on there, it's much more clear. But I hear it's sort of like the inklings of things, right?
Yeah.
And like, in hindsight, it's like, again, kind of obvious, as you said, that like Paige was more removed than maybe he realized. Where are you landing on this? Because obviously, I mean, like, again, like, you have more investment, I think, in this show probably than you do on the Summer House side of things. So what do you, where are you with the Paige and Craig of it all?
You know, for the last 3 years that they've been together, people are always like, oh my God, do you think they're going to get married? People have always asked me, as I'm sure they've asked you, the same. And deep down in my heart, the answer was like, no, it's a reality TV couple. Like, probably not. But above that was, well, I would hope so. Because, like, the match made sense.
Totally.
You know, beautiful. They're beautiful together. Like, this is so fun. What an amazing story. Like, it was, you wanted it. You rooted for it. I did, at least. Like, you know, they seemed really happy. And it's sort of like, how could you not fall for the other? You know, she's beautiful and hilarious and has her shit together. And he is successful and also, you know, handsome. And they, I'm sure, had a shorthand about being on TV or their schedules or whatever that a lot of other people aren't going to understand. And yes, a BravoCon wedding. What a dream. And I think there's a bit of loving the idea of the other person in this as well. And
definitely.
I think, yeah, like, it's when they got together, they got a ton of attention. It's only helped both of their careers, which is, and you know, that's great. Like, embrace that, you know, leverage that, go for it. But the fact that neither was budging on moving, you know, I don't think after 6 months you have to make a decision about where you're going to move to. But I think those are the kinds of things that you certainly need to be, somebody needs to be like, yeah, you know what, after one more year in Charleston, I'm going to be over it. Or, yeah, I can do my business from New York or whatever. And so, like, the fact that there was no budging on that is sort of, that was a pretty big indicator that, like, well, this is only going to get harder the longer this goes. Putting your relationship on TV is really hard. You know, I feel like I defend Kyle and Amanda a lot, too, where I'm like, when I see them in person off screen.
Yep, it's different.
Yeah, it just,
it's easy.
They seem completely fine, if not better than fine together.
I agree.
But then when you watch the show and you're like, what the hell is he doing? And so, like, it just, you know, I wanted them to, I wish that it would have worked out for them because it seemed nice. You could tell how badly he loved being in that backyard and having her around in her little baby doll dress. And, like, you could tell how much he really liked that. The other thing I would say to him, though, too, the thing that I think she's done so well is she said, why do I have to sort of conform to what society is expecting of me? And he's sort of leaning even harder the other way of like, well, this is what society expects of me. And so this is what I want to do. I think, I don't know. Like, I can't tell if he is like, you know what, maybe I don't want to get married. I like that she has been like, I am 31, 32, whatever. Like, give me a break. Give me some time.
Me too.
I'm thriving. Like, that is absolutely the right message. If she wants to live in New York, live in New York. You want to be near your family? Be near your family. Like, I don't fault either of them. You know, I hate that the details of the breakup have gotten murky and not cute. I don't like that. I wish it was an amicable thing. I do think he's tried his best to be respectful-ish about it. And I get her friends standing up for her and being less respectful.
I know.
Like, this is what it is. But yeah, the cracks are showing. And I don't think he likes cracks showing either. Whereas I think she's sort of okay with cracks.
She's okay with the cracks showing. Yeah. Because I think the cracks bolster her decision.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of summed it up perfectly from his side. And I think that this, the awareness, actually, I was impressed by the awareness that he showed on this part 2 of the reunion, where he said, I was in love, not with the reality, but the potential of what I thought we could be. I was blinded by wanting to make it work. Mm-hmm. You're right. Like, he liked the idea. He was ignoring all the signs that, like, were showing. Again, in hindsight, from the outside, it's much easier to see these things and that are also edited on a TV show that's meant to highlight those things. But yeah, I think that, like, I also think that the moving thing, it was like, yeah, it wasn't a big deal because they were still in the first few years of their relationship. Like, I don't agree with the critics that say that Paige never intended to marry him, never intended to set up a life with him. She was just using him to get bolster her. I don't believe any of that. I think that was a byproduct. And I think that it got really real for her. I think that she realized a lot of the stuff that she didn't want with him in actuality, once it became more real, once he said, I will move to New York for you, once he said, I will get the ring for you, that's when it's like, oh shit, this is like, but that's when I think you really have to face your actual feelings. And I think that she did that. He bought the ring. So, or that's what he said. So he bought, you wish he didn't have to buy the ring But at least she did it before he moved to New York. At least she did it before they got engaged, you know? And I think it was the best decision for both of them. But it's tough because I think we, you know, we wanted this fairy tale cross show romance, you know?
But the other thing, 32 in New York is a baby, and 37 in South Carolina is a grandfather. And so, like, she has so much she can still do and accomplish and all that, you know, biological clocks and whatever aside, she can figure out what she wants to do with her life. She should not let pressure from him or any of that slow her down. I'm really glad that she's not. And the same for him, though. He shouldn't let that pressure be like, oh, we, you know, he likes to work on a timeline, and she's like, meh, like, you know, she's not yielding to that. And so I just think that's a very different perspective, being in those locations at that age. And giving the ring back, I mean, he'll get most of his money back for that ring. I'm sure it's beautiful, but like, you know, and when everyone was like, I can't believe they broke up. Yeah, I know. Everyone was like, I can't believe they broke up. I'm like, and I'm right, where I'm like, he will have some other lady immediately. Here's the other thing about propelling her career. She could have Andrew Garfield or whoever the fuck she wants. Like, she could get a way bigger name than Craig Conover. Yes. She absolutely can. And you know what? I think she will. Yeah. Like, girl, go. Like, and so I just think, no, if this was a move to further careers, I think they both knew it's good for their careers for their business and their podcasts. But I think that ties into the idea, not just, and I do think they loved each other, but if she wanted it for a career, she could.
Yeah.
She would have no problem with that.
The one thing that it continues to frustrate me with the Craig side is, like, he was on the first time he was on Watch Happens Live, he answered all the questions except for when the cheating rumors were coming up about her. And he was like, I don't want to take part in that. I don't want to attach my name to that. And then on the reunion, kind of same thing. He answers a lot of the questions. And again, kudos to him for answering the questions, but he refuses. He kind of gave the same answer when Andy brought that up. And I guess one read on it is, like, he knows that if he says yes, it makes both of them look bad in a way, because he is fueling it. And he's keeps saying he doesn't want to fuel it. And it also makes her look bad, because obviously it insinuates that she's a cheater. But on the other hand, it's sort of like, by not answering the question, it's also fueling it. And, like, it's, I guess it's a no-win question to answer, but it's, that continues to frustrate me, I will say.
He said it best in the reunion when he said, I'm not going to say anything on camera that's going to perjure myself. And so he's not going to say anything where they can say, well, you thought that she cheated. And he's not going to put words to that. And so, he's going to let people draw their own conclusions. Again, it is also a way of him trying to be, quote, respectful to her.
For sure.
If I had to put my money on it, he probably thinks something was going on, and that's part of the reason why it ended. But he's not going to say that, because, that makes everybody look bad. But, like, kind of especially him, even if she did. Like, and so I just think, you know, I get the frustration that you have.
It's a difficult situation for him to be.
Yeah. I also just want to say that the timelines of things when they happen versus when they're airing makes it very difficult for these people to go on Watch What Happens Live or do press or do interviews or whatever and be fully honest. Holding him to the fire of, like, well, why weren't you honest about this? I have his back on this, because I'm like, if a 3-year relationship just ended and my heart is broken and I'm still holding out hope that maybe the other person's going to change their mind, I'm not going to Watch What Happens Live to be like, we're done. Like, I'm not. I'm keeping that to myself and I'm pretending everything is fine, even though I know that seems deceitful. Like, to me, that's, you know, we either figure out our joint Instagram statement that we're going to put out, or you go on Giggly Squad and announce it or whatever. I just think that happens more than not. Like, let's put it that way.
That happens
all the time, just in the nature of this production, which is frustrating for viewers, of course, because we'd love to be there in real time, but it doesn't work like that.
And that, to me, adds to sort of the intrigue and the interesting layer that you have to kind of work through as a viewer, you know, like the fact that these are kind of really confusing timelines.
One other thing about him too this season, let's not forget, he jumped right on in that pool, suede shoes and all, to save Vanita. And
so
like,
true.
I feel like the editing on that was very strange.
That
and
was
I didn't
a crazy
quite,
moment.
It was very weird. The whole thing was so weird. But still, he didn't even hesitate. He got right in there.
No,
and
so, I mean,
like,
listen, I think Craig is a good guy. I do think Craig is a good person at the end of the day. I just think that like, and maybe it's just because like as viewers were... Like you said, you'll defend these guys. I think a lot of viewers are sort of conditioned not to. I think we're conditioned to sort of like, again, sort of take our issues out on them in some ways. And that was a very accurate point. And I also think that like, this is sort of the first time that we've had sort of an inter-show breakup where ultimately I think a lot of Bravo viewers, and it's kind of being proven, they have allegiances to shows.
Yeah.
And like, these are two different sort of, I mean, Madison's openly saying I'm on Craig's team, you know, and like, that's just how it's netting out. And so I think it's the cast members defending them. It's sort of like, on the one hand, it feels a little bit like some of them are doing their dirty work for either side, you know, by sort of saying the stuff that they don't want to say themselves. But also it's like, it's great to see them all defending their own, you know? And so I think you can take it both ways. So
I also think you're 100% right on that. And I will say this about the men of Southern Charm. I'm not saying they're not boneheads, but there are like worse, more malicious people in the world than them. And so like, that's the thing that like frustrates me about it is I'm like, look, like a broken heart here or there, like we've all recovered from that. Mm-hmm. So like, whatever. And that's the thing that I also hate is like, I don't want to be on a team because I like Paige and I like Craig. And so like, it's really hard to be like that bitch or that idiot or whatever. Like, I don't, it's a relationship between, again, two gorgeous, successful people that didn't work out. I'm sorry for you guys, but also they both seem completely fine. So I'm not going to sit here and be pouting about it. Like, we all got to move on. Like, they will date amazing new people and have wonderful, wonderful lives. And I'm like,
I think that Craig moving on and confirming that he's dating somebody is the best. It's good news for everybody. And I've said that a couple times.
Yeah.
So, last question for you, Leah, before I let you go. I know we've gone over time. What do you hope the show looks like next season? Like, how do you hope they, because I think, again, it was sort of an uneven season, I would say, overall.
Yeah.
With a pretty big cast. So what do you hope it looks like next year? What do you want to see? What are some threads you want them to follow?
I don't want to have any questions is my main thing. So Audrey, let's go step on up. Let's get Audrey in here. And let's see him in a healthy, loving relationship that's reciprocated. Like, let's see that. Like, we've wanted to see that from Austin for so long. Like, now's your time. Show it. I will also say, shout out to Katie, his sister. I love her. I mean, she's like really cool, but like, make her a full-time cast member because she does a lot of the important work of like asking him the questions that he needs to
she
say
does.
The information to. Yeah. So I love her. Shep, I hope to see balanced, let's put it that way, not like, you know, full man child, but also not like full I'm obsessed. Like, let's like, you know, maybe you're dating or maybe you found someone or whatever, but like, let's like balance the spectrum a little bit there. Craig, we didn't really see a ton of the business stuff this year, so I'd like to see
a
little more of like what's actually happening there. Definitely more Molly and Sally and their lives, of course. Taylor, I would say sit it out unless you're going to bring the boyfriend in.
I agree.
Because I
don't
know.
I think sit it out regardless.
Yeah, I think so. Ryan, I would either say, you know, pass or friend or, you know, or step it up. Like, we've got to figure out a lane for him. But Rodrigo, I love too. And so I'd like to see more from Rodrigo. And I'd like to see Vanita thriving. And JT, I think, can also just sort of go away.
Do you think we'll see JT and Vanita dating next season?
No.
Okay. And do you think we'll see Shep and Molly dating next season?
No. I think that's already over. But I would like to see her dating other people and sort of what that looks like as she navigates that. And same with Sally.
Okay.
And I'm excited to see what Madison is up to because, you know, with Brett healthy and the baby on the way, like, I'm excited to see what that brings.
Me too. Yeah. I think that they have a lot of the good ingredients on this show. Yeah. I just think the balance was a little bit out of whack this season.
I
think that they can rejigger things. And I think that, like, it's always exciting when you have new additions that you want to invest in, that you're willing to invest in, you know? Because so often we get new people that were like, ugh, you're going to be one and done, you know? But like,
yeah.
I think we have some new ones here who we want to see what the rest of their life looks like. And that's a really promising sign. So I feel like
that's huge.
And the reunion was great, as we said. So yeah. It was a pretty good reunion. So I think they're setting themselves up for hopefully a good season. Next year.
I'm interested to see. And I think that especially if they follow with the Molly and Sally's of the world and like really give them their time, that they'll embrace even more of the kookiness of the show, which is always what's appealed to me. So I hope they really lean into that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining. I'm sorry for keeping a little longer.
No,
but there's a lot
please.
To talk about.
Could do this all day. So.
Any plugs you want to do before we sign off? I know you have a little series going that you're working on.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So I'm currently hosting a podcast with iHeart that's called Grown Up Stuff. So we teach you about all the things that we already should know about. I know a few Southern Charm cast members that probably need to tune in. So I'm working on that. And yeah, you can follow me at Little Leap on Instagram. And I think that's probably most of it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Gibson. It's always wonderful to see you.
Do it more often.
Yeah.
Now. Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Leah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.